I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about a recommendation by Jeb called Riddle Story of Devil. But before all that, we were talking about my weight loss journey so far, getting reacquainted with some other people. And then the fabricated laws Rick likes to live by. If you want to catch a part of that wider conversation, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content. And if you choose to, you know, not watch or rather listen to that, and you want to support us through other ways and other means, we have affiliate links for you in the show notes. And you can also go to our own website, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com, where you can buy your own swinky swag from us. Help support us, help us grow, and it is very much appreciated. And now, on to the meat and potatoes. Riddle Story of Devil came out in April 2014 and ran all the way through June 2014. The number of episodes for it are 12 episodes. Couple of producers for it are Dax Production and Pony Canyon. Studios for it are Dio Media. It's based off of a manga, and the genres for it are action, school, and Yuri, also known as Girl Love. When I went into this, I had no expectations at all that it would make sense. I'm 100% honest. And the reason why I say that is because of the name.
Would you care to elaborate?
The original name of it is Akuma no Riddle. However, English translation is Riddle Story of Devil. Why?
Maybe because Akuma means devil?
No. I mean, like, is that how you would normally say that sentence?
I'm not well versed.
I'm just saying, like, personally, is that how you would say it? Mentally, no. I get it. Like, whenever I say it, I always want to add like a couple extra words to it, a couple extra syllables, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not proper English by any stretch of the imagination. I agree.
Okay. That's why I was like, oh, it's going to probably focus heavily on riddles, and there's going to be a devil that's in there. And neither one was actually in there, really. I mean, like, I wouldn't even call them riddles. That's what they were. But so the main primary, premise of the show is you have Azuma, which is a trained assassin from birth, basically transfers into an elite private girls' school. And she's also transferred in there with a whole slew of other girls at the exact same time. And she is told that she has to assassinate one person, and then she gets whatever she wants. She is granted one wish, whatever it is, no matter what it is, she'll get it. What ends up happening is she ends up not assassinating the individual. She ends up moving towards saving or protecting, being the protector of said individual who's going to be assassinated, or they're going to have the attempts made on their life. I just want to say, before we really dig into it, she was horrible at her job. She sucked. I would not hire her to protect a bag of moldy potatoes.
All I know is whether or not she was good at protecting, the end result speaks for itself.
You mean the end result where she did almost nothing and everything was basically handed to her by people that far outclassed her?
I mean, when you're the last one standing at the end of the day, can you really say you lost anything?
Touche, sir. Touche. The answer to that question is, I mean, like, well, hang on. I mean, depends on your definition of lost. I mean, like, if I'm standing at the end of the day and I'm missing an arm, but I'm still standing, then yeah, I mean, like, I could still say I lost something. But in terms of, in general, no, I'm still the victor. The victor is still the victor, no matter what. You know, so
exactly. The ends justify the means.
I guess.
I mean, that's the way I see it. No, you?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. So the biggest thing, right, is that you have like our main female protagonist, Haru, who constantly refers to herself in the third person throughout the entire series. And then you have Azuma, who's her roommate, who's a trained assassin, who ends up trying to be a protector, just really suck at her job and be wishy-washy about it. It's like, honestly, more than half the situations that they got into would not have happened had Azuma actually done what she said she was going to do.
Well, but you got to take a look at it. And instead of it being one of those things where you have a compliant customer, right? Where, hey, I want you to repair my computer. Here's my computer. You know, this one is, hey, I want you to save me. If you can find me first.
It wasn't even that. Yeah. Like half the time, you know, she's like, oh, you're going to be best friend. You're going to be buddy, buddy. You're going to go out and meet this one person. It's going to be totally cool and everything like that. And it's like, all right, fine. Bye. Have fun. Walks away, does whatever. And it's like, oh, gee, interesting. There's a classroom full of assassins. Everyone wants to kill Haru. And we know that at any point in time, any of them can just like give out a courtesy call to the person they're about to assassinate as they're about to assassinate them. Anyways, here you go. Your advanced notification. Stab. It's like, hey. So
open this. Kaboom.
Right. So it's like, interesting. Maybe I shouldn't let her go and hang out with all those other people by herself.
Seriously, though, 100% agree with that, because you're anticipating that everyone's going to follow the rules, which they don't.
Oh, you've
got one girl who like blatantly breaks the rules twice.
Well, hang on. The rules weren't established the first time. She just knew who she needed to assassinate. The rules were never truly established. Well, everyone knew. Okay. It was like you had an innocent little Haru sitting there talking to herself about herself to herself. Everyone's like made a comment of like, bro, she does not smell like death. She doesn't smell like she murdered copious amounts of people. She doesn't smell like she's one of us. And that's the constant thing that everyone kept saying is like, she's not like us. You could tell. And then there's a secret meeting for everyone except for Haru. After Haru left, you know, you had Neo who says, now we have to have our real secret orientation now that Haru has left to talk about who your target is. Huh. I wonder. You got a 50-50 shot. One is an assassin. The other one's totally not an assassin. Who am I going to go after?
Exactly. Yeah. Did we do a review of, I want to say it was the 12 Zodiac War? So there was an anime where you have a war and you have the Zodiacs, the ox, the tiger, the whatever it is. You have people representing them and they have to go into a brawl where they fight and stuff like that. Did we do a review on that or no?
No, I'm totally lost at what you're saying, though. So
it's similar to this, where everyone's got a specific set of skills. They have advantages, disadvantages. They're all trying to kill their target and stuff like that. Whereas in the other anime, it's last man standing wins, but the reward, and specifically the reward, is very similar in both instances, where whatever you want, whatever you desire, no matter how fantastical it is, it's yours. And, I thought it was really, really interesting. I'm like, how can you as a corporation be like anything you want? One girl who for some reason is immortal, basically, was like, I just want to grow old and die. No one knows how old I am. Not even me. I've lost count.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. You're talking about, what did they say her name, her disease was? It was called Highlander's disease, I think.
That'd be hilarious. Yeah, you can. I can only get old if I chop someone else's head off, but I have no idea who they are.
Well, it's not even that, right? It's like I can't get old because of plot. Yeah, that works. Works for me. Yeah, works for you. Works for me.
It does work for me. That seems to be the only thing that does, though.
Well, the other thing is like, so they do clarify, like at first you're like looking at the teachers like, is he a part of it? And they immediately and quickly verify, no, the teacher is most assuredly not a part of it and that he is off limits. So like they do have rules, and that's one of the things that's kind of weird, is you only get one attempt to assassinate the person. You have to give a notification that you're going to assassinate that person, and then you only have 48 hours after you give that notification to assassinate the person.
Otherwise you are expelled. Now, do you think he died?
No, they're all alive. They all still alive and kicking.
Even the ones that should have died?
Yep.
How are you going to get stabbed and survive that? How are you going to drink poison? Like straight up.
Plot
drink
magic.
It. Like,
plot poison, is- plot daggers. Look, sir, this is called the riddle story of devil plot. All right. Mm-hmm. Or the plot of riddle story of devil. You know, you take your pick. I mean, this is, you know, you can actually just drop the devil portion. The riddle story of plot. There you go. That's a better name. It's a better name.
It's possible. But what I do know for a fact is nothing makes sense. It's fantastical to a ludicrous degree. And the biggest whole twist of this whole thing is that you don't have free will, I guess. And even the person in charge doesn't have free will.
What do you, could you clarify?
Can I specify?
Yes.
Sure. Do we know if Haru was supposed to be, do we know if they protected of their own volition or were they coerced?
What do you mean?
Unknowingly.
What do you mean?
So her name's Haru, right?
Yeah, the girl that refers to herself in the third person?
Nope, not that one then. The one we're supposed to save. The one that's supposed to survive.
The one that refers to herself in the third person.
Oh, she does.
Yes.
That's weird.
Haru, yes.
Sorry. I watched the English version because after it got a little crazy with the subtitles, so I was like, eh, screw this. There's an English version, I'm watching it. And I don't think she did that in that one. Referring to herself in the third person, I mean. Anyway, supposedly she's got a queen bee pheromone. That will, you know, and the more danger she's in, the more life-threatening the scenario, the stronger this pheromone is. And this pheromone affects everyone around her who inhale, who smell, who ingest, if you will. And it's not that they're susceptible to suggestion, because that's not it. It's closer to, I don't know, you'll die for me kind of thing.
Plot protection? We'll just go with that. We'll go with plot protection.
Hey, it's accurate. That's the only thing I can say about that. And I guess, did you pause at any point in time in the middle sections when they were explaining everybody's power?
Well, people don't have powers. They don't have like superhuman powers or anything like that. They're just specialized assassins.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I didn't pause it when they had talked about powers.
Did you pause it for any type of reason to read?
No.
And at the last, I want to say three episodes that where you would have like the intermission where the commercial break would happen. They throw up a bunch of
quite interesting. That's what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. I thought you were talking about like the main story, not the like little synopsis or bio about the people.
Yeah. And one of the things that they said was that Haru has the ability to get somebody else's sympathy. get somebody else to protect, get somebody else to do what she wants to specifically preserve her life.
Yeah, but you didn't have to pause it for that. I mean, like they straight up said it.
No, they did. But it in that little pause section, it gives a little bit more detail. It's a pheromone. You have to be within contact. And it's something that they have the ability to bottle.
That's interesting, because in the subs, they talk about it, but they don't talk about it like being something that they can bottle or anything like that. They just, like, the person that was talking about it is like, she's a part of this. She has a pheromone, and it causes other people to do that. And they talk a little bit about the details of it specifically. So, I mean, I guess.
I just thought it was interesting, because one of the things was, it makes you more agreeable. And I mean, that makes sense. You know, I want you to do what I want you to do. And even if you don't want to, you still do. That means you're more prone to what I want, kind of thing. I didn't realize that there were no other superpowers. Like the chick who has machines for everything.
She doesn't have machines for everything. She's still mostly human. Her limbs were the main changes for it, so to speak. But she was still mostly human. She wasn't a machine. She had puppets that she liked to call them. That's what you're talking about. But again, it's like they were within limitation. I mean, like they were not that great.
Yeah, I guess. I'm more surprised with the fact that she lost her legs and her arms and some of her stomach, because I thought that's where she was able. Her stomach area was like a cubby hole of sorts.
No,
she was able to like store something there. No,
nope.
Where'd she get the other arm from?
The wall where there was a bunch of other guns
and weapons. Yeah, but I didn't know that the arm was there.
She walked over and grabbed it off the wall. So I mean.
Must have missed that part then.
I mean, like you were pausing it for some other stuff, but you missed.
Oh, no. I agree. So the last episode I watched mostly, but I was also doing other stuff. So I got the gist of it and I was like, oh yeah, it's just a generic fight scene. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Before that look, I didn't read the synopsis. I want to point that out. Mm-hmm. I didn't do anything untoward. I had damn near 2 weeks
to watch 12 episodes. But that doesn't mean anything. I mean, like, you've had a month to watch a movie and still barely made it and had to delay subtitles. So
just that's hurtful. That's hurtful.
I'd say it with love. Say it with love.
It was truthful, but hurtful, you know. Jeez.
They do kind of give you one of the things that I actually liked about it is that they do kind of give you a background story for the characters.
Mm-hmm.
You do get a little bit of a background on them or get some information on them. However, that information that you're given is just so minimal and minute where it's like, why are you going to give me a small teaser? Like, oh, they're like this because of X. Cool. Care to elaborate on that?
It really had no bearing on the actual story, other than I'm now a little more interested than I was, but not by much.
Right. And when I saw the cover for it, mm-hmm. and that they were all females, I was like, totally. And the two people, as soon as they were roomed together, it's like, oh yeah, this is going to be their love story. And you could almost immediately get that too from watching the opening credit scene. Like, this is going to be their story. They are going to become intertwined with each other. So it's not really a surprise that it wrote out or came out like Haru being protected by Azuma. Like, you saw it coming. It's not giant surprise. It's like, oh, they're roommates. Oh, watch the opening credits scene. Cool. Oh, look, they're going to be roommates. Oh yeah, this is going to be basically kind of like a love story for them.
Absolutely. I agree with that. One of the things that caught me off guard was the fact that your supposed best killer in the world can't kill. And then,
well, it's not that she's the best killer in the world. She's part of a family of assassins that have long since influenced events over the world. And there's another person that's also a part of the other, of the basically a rival family, who's also a member of one of the top assassin families of the world that have long since, for centuries, assassinated people too, you know?
Okay. I mean, yeah, I thought it was one family that branched into two separate divisions.
It is possible.
And then spiderwebbed after that. And in, when I paused it, the show, obviously, one of the things I read was one family decides that their successor will not be blood related. It'll be the best candidate in that age group they're going to adopt and assume into them and then train them and stuff like that. Whereas the other family was all about lineage. So when that happened, I was like, that reminds me a lot of, like, they're pulling from a lot of other anime here.
Well, they're pulling from a lot of inspiration. That is true. I mean, like, there's no getting around that. There's no denying it. But as, I mean, in case you couldn't tell, at least for Azuma and the numerous flashbacks that they had for her, she was very much a part of a family that was not adopted. She is born into and raised in the family of assassins. Everyone has blue hair. Everyone was grandmother. Grandmother looked like her. They talked about her being the next head of the family, being born. I mean, that one was pretty obvious. As far as the other one, we were not told much about it. And I can only assume that for the main head honcho of the family, Haru is the one that's, what's it called? The adopted one. Because the person that's basically going, providing or putting out for the assassin is the one that's like, hey, yeah, this is who we're going to go for.
Okay. Speaking of that, the the title is The Riddle Story of Devil. Did you notice that every episode, the title was the riddle of the day?
Yeah. I wouldn't exactly call it a riddle, because even the guy, so the riddles are all very ambiguous that have no real answer. And so he's like, oh, these have no right answer. The answer is whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, that was a cop out if I ever heard one.
Yeah, it was like, okay, so what's the purpose of the of you doing the whole of the riddles? I mean, like, what's the purpose of even talking about it? Like, oh, to get her. It's like, I get it. Like, I get it. Like, the main purpose was to, you know, it's like, oh, get her to let someone else into her life so that way she could further expand and be the true assassin that we all know that she could be. No, it was just crap. Just lazy writing and just crap.
Well, I'm really, really, really happy that I didn't. I'm really, really, really happy that I did not, like, go too deep into liking one of the characters. Because at the very beginning, you're drawn to certain characters and you're like, this is going to be a good character arc. This is going to be fantastic. And unfortunately, it became very bland. And my favorite character isn't one of the fighters, isn't one of the assassins.
It's the teacher.
I love that fucking teacher.
That teacher was awesome. And the thing is, they made him likable. Right. And that's why they said, no, he is just a normal guy. He's just there to try and teach. You can't try and assassinate from him, can't put him in danger, can't do this, can't do that. And the dude is just like trying so hard and students are just dropping left and right. He goes to the headmaster. He's like, am I just a horrible teacher? Am I just bad? He's like, no, you're doing great. You're doing great. Keep going. And you're just like, I feel for the teacher, man. I mean, like, the dude's trying so hard. I wish I had a teacher that cared as much as him.
Like, the whole time he's like, what am I doing wrong? What can I do to give better education? And then when he was like, oh, it's somebody's birthday, he went out, broke some rules, and went into the girls' locker room damn near.
They were at the swimming pool area. So
I thought it was a girls only swimming pool area, like, attached to their locker room, because this whole school was so lavish.
No, they reserved it and it was supposed to be a quote unquote girls' day out. instead of it being open because it's a normal water park basically inside the school. So you don't have to go to the beach for the beach scene. You don't have to go to the water park for a water park scene. It's at the school. You don't have to leave premises. But no, he goes over there after they reserve it, and he does the whole celebration thing, or tries to.
That's the key. He tries to. He shows up in a clown like mask kind of thing. And at that point, I was like, oh, he's an assassin. This is what he's doing. This is. And then the boom of the celebration, like a little popper things. I'm like, oh, no, he's just an idiot.
It's not that he's an idiot. It's like he genuinely cared. He's like, oh, it's their birthday. He wants them to feel loved and appreciated, that people actually care and that he cares about them. And
in the American version, in the English version, the dub, he assumes that they reserved the pool specifically to celebrate the birthday, which is why he originally thought it was going to be okay for him to show up.
Yes.
And then one of the students is like, you just wanted to get an Eiffel, you perv. I was like, no, don't do that to my man.
You know, again, you know, just furthers my point of it was a public swimming area. They just reserved it for like a girl's day.
Dude was straight wholesome. I loved every second he was there. And I kind of feel like the show could have done with a few more of not necessarily goofy characters, because I don't really see him as being goofy, but definitely more characters, not just to drive the plot, but to flesh everything out. There was they tried to give you a sob story for every assassin.
Failed.
And I swear that it all fell flat. All fell flat. And it's mainly because there was just too much shit going on. And it's not that it's not to say that the show was bad. It was painfully generic. It had really good visuals at times. It had decent I don't know what you want to call it. Chemistry between most of the characters. They worked really, really well together. The fight scenes were decently choreographed. I thought it was a bit much personally. I was like, how was it possible, other than an anime, to have so many young, I'm talking young people, be so proficient at everything without fail? They tried something. Whatever. I win. I'm the best. You just can't beat me. Except for school.
They weren't proficient at everything. They weren't like, oh, I'm the best, and then I'll win. There was like almost nothing that they were doing where that was a scenario I can think of.
The bomb chick was proficient and somehow was able to get everything right. Still lost, but it was because she couldn't blow the target up.
Yeah, but they also showed that she failed horribly every single time before that. I mean, like, it's not like, oh, they just woke up and they're like, oh, we had 2 weeks, had our 2 week training course on being an assassin. Here we go. It's like, no, they were raised from children to be assassins. They, you know, one of them was like, oh, I'm just really good at this and I'm good at doing this one thing. And she was horrible at it. She didn't win, but. And then you had another one, another assassin, so to speak, that was like so focused on trying to find, what was it, the Angel of Death or something like that, or whatever her name was. And maybe? Then it's the
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The little girl. Hitsugi, where she's. Yeah. So she's like the angel, they call her the angel or something like that, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, she's like right there. It's like you're with her the whole time. It's like you don't. It's like, why are you with her? Like you're walking around holding her hand. You're obviously infatuated with her. Like, what's the story? What's the deal with this? Can you like elaborate on why? But they don't. They just gave
a reason. Well, they gave a reason, but it was a real shit reason. Oh, they wanted to feel like they were helping someone who looked lost. Only that the person who looked lost turned out to be this master assassin that was hiding in plain sight. And they you know, love forgives all, you know?
Right. Well, whatever. I'm not buying it. That's what I...
Especially with assassins, I agree. Yeah,
whatever. I mean, like, which means that the only way here's the thing. The only way, and I don't know why this was not raised as a red flag for her, for the person who is obviously there to look for other assassins, right? It's not like these assassins were just like, oh, let me reach into a hat and pull out a random name. Oh, this is who we're going to go with. They're an assassin, obviously. No, I would assume that everyone there is a vetted assassin or have undergone extensive training to be an assassin. And, you know, you have red hair, Chitaru, walking around with Hitsugi, the girl, little girl with the teddy bear. They're not just letting anyone into into this classroom. They're not just letting 100%. Any person, like clue number one, clue number two, if they're not letting anyone in there that's not meant to be an assassin, maybe you need to start looking at the little girl you're leading around with your hand. Just saying.
Well, you know, it's frustrating at times, I'm sure. For no other reason than it's a big old assassin world out there. How could you make sure, you know?
Right.
Whatever. I like it.
So before we get into the rating and everything like that, spoiler warning. How I know everyone survives, how I know everyone's still alive. Would you like to know how I know?
Sure, what you got?
Yeah, did you watch the last episode?
Of course. Did I watch the last episode? Yeah.
Are you sure? All the way
did through? Did you watch the OVA?
All the way through?
Yes, I did. Where she started handing out everyone's diploma and stuff like that.
Where you literally saw everyone alive. Yeah,
everyone.
Everyone alive, all right?
Even the ones that were drinking the poison and being stabbed through the heart.
Yes. So that's why I asked, because you're like, I have a question for you. Is everyone still alive? Obviously, if you've watched it, you would know. You wouldn't have had to pose that question.
The one I didn't see, which is why I was curious, was the one who was the entire time, I'm not an assassin.
Yeah, you I'm saw not her. Part of this. You saw her in the hospital visiting the one that was stabbed.
Was she the one?
Yes. They both survived. Everyone survived. I know
they did.
Everyone survived. Everyone. This was an assassination classroom full of inept assassins that couldn't even kill themselves.
Yeah, I was going to say, they all didn't do anything. They all need different fields.
They should. Well, you know what? To be honest, one of them did actually change their field. So she went to work in construction.
Oh, yeah. The one with all the kids. I thought that was the day job she had to begin with. It was siblings, not kids.
Yeah. That's the only one you see doing something other than assassinating or dead or being dead or anything else or coming back to life. I don't have anything else, sir. Honestly, I got nothing else.
Sadly, I'm going to have to agree with you.
All right. So for riddle story of plot, how would you rate this on a scale of up to 10, sir?
Well, riddle story of plot, I'm going to have to give it a 3. It is not something that I'm going to recommend to anybody. The reason I'm rating it so high is the animation was solid. If nothing else, the animation was solid. The story was not fantastic. It didn't really. The problem for me about having everyone survive is there were no consequences. Like nothing they did made sense. Nothing they did mattered. And it's nothing mattered.
Nothing mattered. No, I get it. I gotcha. So 3? Final answer?
3. Final answer.
For me, I am going to go with, I'm going to say 4. I'm going to go with a 4. I'm going with a 4. Because while it was plot and ridiculous, it was, in my opinion, well paced. It had a decent pace. So okay. I can't fault it for that. I can't fault it for that. It actually did give it an ending too, which is, you know, I mean, you know, I'm a fan of when they actually give an ending. It's like, so, and they just show everyone dead or something like that. It's like, I don't care. It's an ending. So they gave it an ending. The music was horrible. Animation was all right. The fight scenes were unique. The background stories that they kind of gave you a glimpse of, I wish that they actually went into details for it. Like, or maybe there's more information out there for us to really kind of gather and consume, so to speak. But I feel like I would like to know, like, that's the one thing that's making me want to give it a four is it piqued my interest enough to go, I would like to know more about all these other characters. Not necessarily Haru, because I really couldn't care less about her, but, you know, everyone else, you know, you piqued my interest.
I hate to say it. That's what it is.
Next week, we're going to watch a anime. Can you believe it? Oh, no, another series. A magnificent, right? No, yeah. Next week is going to be called, it was a random choice.
All right.
I've never seen it. I don't know what it's about.
Sure.
It's called DNA Squared.
DNA Squared.
Yes. If you feel like we got something right, something wrong, did it too much justice, not enough justice, or anything else like that, really, honestly, feel free to let us know. All our contact information and everything like that is down in the show notes, or you could go to our website, featuredanimepodcast.com, where you can get access to all our links and information and how to get in contact with us and give us recommendations and tell us we're a bunch of dum-dums or anything like that. Or if you want to hear some of the pre and post show content that we actually do with every show, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content. And if you want to buy some swanky swag, you go to shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. Or if you want to support us through other means, like purchasing the series that we just talked about, we do have an affiliate link for you in our show notes. It'll take you to Bright Stuff Anime. You purchase anything using that affiliate link, we do get a little bit of a kickback. So it is very much appreciated if you do that. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick. And we'll see you next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.